Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing to you part one of a new Advent series entitled Prepare, with today's message specifically entitled Keep Awake, based off of Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. So let us dive into the Word today. At that time, after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. And now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all of these things taking place, you can know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard. Stay alert. The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his slaves instructions about the work they were to do, and he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return. In the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you what I say to everyone, watch for him. Amen. Advent is an invitation to stay awake as we wait for and recognize Christ's arrival. Now, this week, and really this month, this whole year, this week was a rough week, I'm not going to lie. It came off of my kids going back to their prospective places and me back to Mr. Empty Nester. But I was prepared for that, and so I coped with it well enough. There were plenty of other challenges this week, but none more heart-wrenching and grief-stricken than the loss of my cat, Princess Sophia. We called her Sophie for short, among other nicknames, and she was truly, truly my best friend and TV companion. And I say TV companion because, well, most people in my household don't like to watch movies and things like I do. She would always sit in there with me. She would always opt to sit in there with me, either cuddling on my chest or on my lap or wherever. Still, I was somewhat prepared. I mean, I absolutely did not expect her to die this past Thursday. But when she had been losing weight and the vet said she was pretty much at life expectancy, so deep down, I knew the inevitable was imminent. With that said, I cannot imagine if I came home to my young or middle-aged cat dead the way we found her. How much harder that would have been to deal with than it is now, knowing that at least she had a full and fulfilled life. That she lived it on her terms, died it on her terms. To me, being awake to God means being prepared, just as I was prepared for the things I just mentioned. It is about knowing that our Lord is coming imminently, And now we need to be prepared for that. Prepared doesn't mean that those things are easy or that there aren't repercussions for those things for us or whatnot. Of course there are. Listen, we live in a world where we're connected to everybody and everything. And so if someone sneezes, there are repercussions for that. But we need to be prepared. It's not that we're not going to, you know, get everything right all the time or exactly know what's going to happen all the time, but we need to be prepared. To me, that looks like being present among our brothers and sisters in Christ, serving others in mission and ministry, and offering the hope, healing, and wholeness to all we come in contact with, and the hope and healing and wholeness of Jesus Christ to all we come in contact with. That's what preparedness looks like to me. Friends, we all know how we live in a world that draws our attention to certain things. For instance, this week we were told in the news that the most important things to focus on were, of course, investigations into various politicians, from the former president to the current president's son to a now expelled member of Congress to the mayor of New York City. And of course, we're told that the Leaning Tower of Pisa is on high alert for collapse. And to take the cake for all important news, because the ones I just mentioned actually do bear newsworthy significance, we are told we need, and I mean we need, to check out Arnold Schwarzenegger's son's, Joseph's, ripped physique. You got that right. Go check out Joseph's ripped physique. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger's son. So that would be Joseph Schwarzenegger. This is what the world would have us focus on or be awake to. Negativity, stupidity, and vanity. Right? I mean, seriously. Oh, and of course, things. I mean, the Tower of Pisa isn't stupid. I mean, it's a significant building, and if it collapses, that would stink. So hopefully, they're able to avoid that. But well, let me just ask you this. Tell me some of the things that were not in the headlines this week. What good things happened in the world, out in community, or in our community, or in our church this week that were not printed, or in your church if you're not in our church? What were some of the things that happened that just got no notice for one reason or the other? This week's scripture teaches us of the importance of staying awake to what God is doing as we prepare for Jesus. Not baby Jesus, but King Jesus in Advent. That is why we remember Jesus' birth, his first coming, because we eagerly await his return, his parousia, you remember that Greek word, his second coming. Otherwise, Christmas has zero meaning outside of sentimentality. Seriously, zero meaning. I mean, let me be as bluntly honest about this as I can be. You cannot keep Christ in Christmas through baby Jesus alone, but through King Jesus, the one who was not only born, but lived, taught, died, resurrected, ascended into heaven, sits at the right-hand side of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Where he shall come again, his second coming, his parousia, to judge the living and the dead. In Advent, we start with keeping awake for the hope that Jesus brings. Now, I want us to understand this contextually and historically. Originally, Advent was actually a somber season. Its liturgical color was purple to mirror Lent. Now, any of us who've been in the church, we all know that Lent, you're singing songs like "Oh Sacred Head Now Wounded." So it was that kind of a somber season. Think about in the bleak midwinter. Think about "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Think about the first Noel. Those are all somber, peaceful, silent night. It was a season of fasting, repentance, and waiting. Not of Christmas carols and shiny tinsel and all the stuff we think of today. Patricia DeJong says, "The coming of Advent jolts the church out of ordinary time with the invasive news that it's time to think about fresh possibilities for deliverance and human wholeness. It is in the spirit of the original tone of Advent that we get the jolting passage we heard today, which also the lectionary gives us for the first Sunday of Advent. This passage is often referred to as the little apocalypse." And remember, we just talked about apocalypse. "It is a piece of apocalyptic literature alongside others like in scripture, like Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, which we just looked at last week. All of the book of Revelation, Daniel chapters 7 through 12. As was mentioned last week, when we hear the word apocalypse, when people hear the word apocalypse, they may think of the end of the world and popular portrayals of it. For example, the Left Behind books and films and The Walking Dead and, you know, things like that. However, as was also mentioned last week, the word apocalypse literally means revelation. And we do not always know what that revelation looks like. Even in this passage, Jesus says, "However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows." Advent is about the coming revelation of God into the world and into our lives anew. Apocalyptic literature like this passage and others, again, Revelation, Daniel chapter 7 verses 12, chapter 7 through 12, can be confusing and challenging, no doubt. Revelation, everybody's like, "Oh, well, you know, you have to be like doing drugs to understand that book," you know, like, I mean, people like always joke about that because it's confusing. The imagery makes little sense. I mean, it's fantastic at the least. Ultimately, though, apocalyptic literature speaks into situations of despair or crisis, using imagery that brings the reader from where they are now to somewhere else, in a combination of literal, metaphorical, and allegorical ways. And it may not always point to the end of the world, but it does point to the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. Or something like that, right? Yeah. Yeah, it may not always... I mean... Apocalypse doesn't always point to the end of the world literally, but it does point to the end of the world as we know. It's a revelation of something new coming into the world, at the very least. And in times of despair and crisis, change to the world as we know it can be a source of hope. The gospel according to Mark was written during one of these times, around the time of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And the writer of Mark uses Jesus' apocalyptic message to help the early Christian church combat what is going on in the world around them, to remind them of the hope they have in Jesus despite the apparent destruction. Friends, we don't even have to think far or wide as to the ways in which We have struggled with despair and a lack of hope. Look at what the pandemic has done to our spirit. And thankfully, we are awake to that fact and are counteracting that by once again placing our faith fully in Jesus. Still, we must be diligent in pressing forward, lest we find ourselves falling back asleep again. And we must never lose focus on why we are doing what we do, rather than who is doing what, or how many are coming, or whatnot. Fear begets more fear. Faith, however, begets stronger faith, and faith begets miracles. Amen? Sisters and brothers, four times in the passage, Jesus tells the small group of disciples to stay awake or alert during a time of destruction and chaos. They are to stay awake and look for signs of Jesus, the Son of Man, who is their hope and ours. And the alternative to staying awake, as Jesus says in verse 36, is being asleep. In Jesus' warning not to be found asleep, there is a caution against becoming complacent or cynical. Given the realities of the world today, we too can become complacent or cynical by either thinking that everything is okay or despairing that it will never be. Yet, we are all called to keep awake, looking for signs of Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. We are told to stay awake as preparation for the coming of God's reign. We are not to be thinking that everything's okay or despairing that it never will be, but we're to keep awake and look for signs of Jesus. And if we think of it this way, staying awake becomes an act of hope and trust rather than an act of cynicism or fear. And I want us to think of it that way. It becomes an act of hope and trust rather than an act of cynicism and fear. When we do not stay awake to signs of Jesus and his reign, we are allowing cynicism to determine our outlook on the world. What headlines did we not see in the news this week? What are the good things that no one printed that happened in your life? As we materialistically prepare for Christmas, you know, presents, decorations, meals, whatnot, what is one thing we can commit to doing this Advent to prepare spiritually for Christmas, for the coming anew of Jesus into our lives and world? Perhaps you can commit to reading the Bible each day throughout Advent. Don't know where to start? Great. That is why you'll notice that I took the liberty of including in our Join Us emails that go out on Saturday a list of daily scripture readings throughout Advent. You can actually find the daily scripture reading list online or on our episode notes here. If you look in the episode notes, I have the link there, and you can click on that and certainly read the scriptures every day. I would encourage that you do that. If you are new to the faith, or even if you are a seasoned veteran, you might associate Christmas with the commercialism that surrounds us, or with family busyness. This Advent, I want to encourage you to see Christ in Christmas. And this week will give you all the space to awaken to Christ in this season. Here's a simple spiritual practice to encourage wakefulness and attention to God's presence. Here's such a practice. Each day, find 5 minutes to be still. Take several deep breaths, then focus on each of your five senses, one at a time. What can you see around you? What do you hear? What do you feel against your skin? What can you taste? What do you smell? Finally, now that you are grounded in the moment, offer thanks to God for the things that you have noted. What headlines did we not see in the news this week? What are the good things that no one printed that happened in the life of the church and community? Does anyone have a church or community highlight to share? If you do, share it with somebody. Staying awake is both being alert to the signs of Jesus' reign in our world and community and to the opportunities we have to participate in those signs and the bringing of the kingdom. If the church left the community tomorrow, what would happen? Are we a sleepy or sleeping church? And if so, in what ways? Also, how are we awake to God? This passage's focus on staying awake leads us in God's direction toward being present in and serving community out of our response to God, not out of a desire to remain relevant, to keep existing, nor to secure ourselves status in the community. We are witnesses to what God is doing, whose reign is already and not yet. Amen? Amen. Then let us be those witnesses in the world. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you again for this hopeful and inspirational message, but also a challenging message, because it is challenging us to keep awake, Lord, and keeping awake is very important to who we are as disciples and our mission in this world. So help us to remain alert, to keep awake, and to serve without ceasing as you have first served us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, again, check out the episode notes. There's the link to the daily scripture reading list. And there's links to our giving pages. If you are able to give, that would be very helpful to us. There are two ways that you can do that, either on Tithely or through PayPal. So please, if you can give, that is great. But with that said, friends, remember that you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.